There you go.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Kim, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kim.
And I'm going to pass my photos around. I came into the program in 1998. I had moved to New Jersey, and I needed a place to live. And I was 350 pounds, and I thought, no one is going to want to live with me. But I answered an ad, and these two women were looking for a roommate, and I moved in with them, and it turns out that one was in AA and the other was in OA. And I was living in a rehab, basically, and it was perfect. Later, when I looked back, I realized that was one of the times I recognized the hand of my higher power putting my butt where it needed to be. So I went through the steps, and it didn't get struck abstinent right away, but I got abstinent, and I lost 150 pounds. And then I kind of stalled. Some people would say, oh, well, you're maintaining. Yeah, you don't maintain at 200 pounds. I maintained at 200 pounds. It's just a plateau. Not for 3 years, you don't sit on a plateau. But I stayed 200 pounds for about 3 years. And then eventually, things started to go the other direction. And I gained 10 pounds in a year. It's only 10 pounds. I mean, that's nothing. 10 pounds, I've gained 100 pounds in less than a year. It's only 10 pounds. And then the next year, another 10 pounds. And I still go into meetings, and I'm still being active. I'm doing intergroup work and treasury and all kinds of stuff. I'm still there. Eventually, I go start working in New York, and I kind of drift away. The meetings, not so much. But I did have a connection. I maintain my connection with, I have 10-step buddies. Every day I do a daily page. They do their daily page, and we email, the three of us. That was the biggest connection I still had through all of this. And thank God I never truly left. Drifted and come back. Drifted and come back. Still gaining 10 pounds every year. And for the longest time, I just kept thinking, and I'm working on it. I'm not happy with this. But at first, I'm telling myself, I'm struggling. Hindsight, I was in relapse. But I really thought I was just struggling because it didn't look like the binge that was pre-program. And I'm going to mention food, so please don't faint. But a binge prior to program was 2 medium pizzas. A binge prior to program would be 1.5 pounds bag of peanut M&Ms. A binge prior to program would be an entire bottle of Bailey's Irish Cream. And now I'm doing just an extra serving of vegetables, or maybe a cookie, not the whole sleeve, a cookie, you know? So instead of having it too large or 1.5 pounds bag of, I'm gaining 1 tablespoon at a time, 1/2 cup at a time. In my mind, while it may have been totally delusional, in my mind, I'm not binging. I'm not doing that crap. I might have a slice as opposed to 2 large. It's not the same. But I know that now. I read a book recently. Actually, the book sucked. But I got one good thing from it, and he kept referring to rationalize. And I was rationalizing all of this stuff. But if you break it down, it's rational lies. Lies that seemed perfectly logical. So now I know that that was rational lies. And I wasn't actually being, I was just deluded. So anyway, I'm gaining weight, gaining weight, gaining weight, and there's this sadness in me. There's this unhappiness. My life is better than it had ever been. Had a good job, great marriage, wonderful friends, all this stuff, but there was still this, I called it this black hole of pain inside. And working the steps and reading the literature and writing about stuff, it wasn't coming up. So I said, I don't know what to do, but I've got to do something. Because now, it's been 10 years, and now I weigh 105 pounds more so I'm certainly not maintaining anymore. And I'm at 305 pounds, and I'm so unhappy, I decide to go to seek professional help. In the meantime, I've also been doing the, I must not be spiritually fit, I must be that person who can't be honest with themselves, all this stuff. So I asked some friends, and they directed me to some people, and I found a therapist, and for a year and a half, we worked on a lot of stuff. A lot of the emotional stuff. And I found these core beliefs that I didn't know I actually had. They had been so hardwired that they were just a part, it's like the blood flowing through my body. I didn't even realize that this was part of it. And I'm starting to feel emotional, so if I cry, just bear with me. By the way, I've been mentally rehearsing all of this. It was an absolutely wonderful talk this morning while I was talking. I'm so sorry you all missed it. Thank you. So I was looking in my journals and stuff. Thank God for journals, because I don't have a good timeline of things, but because I could look back at my journals, I could see. And one of the things I wrote, I was watching Oprah and she had Bob Greene on, and he said, if you haven't resolved the heart of the issue, you'll never succeed. Now, some of the things that came out while I was in therapy was, I'm unworthy, I'm broken, I'm invaluable. These are the things that I needed to be fixed. I'm not worthwhile. These were the things, I'm ashamed. You know, there's one thing to feel guilty about something you've done, and then there's a whole other thing to feel ashamed, which meant me as a person was not good. And these were the thoughts that I had. But it took a lot of crying in my therapist's office. Actually, the last session we had, I brought her a 12-pack of tissues all wrapped up as a gift. And as typical, because I thought it was funny, since I cried so much in her office, I would empty out the boxes. And she, in typical fashion, said, why did you feel the need to give me this gift? I said, it's just a joke. There's no deep-seated meaning behind it. So I asked myself the question that Bob Greene had asked. And I said, what's the heart of the issue? I went into not being able to express myself. But then out of my core, I heard, I wasn't wanted. And I sobbed. I got this extreme pain in my head, and I suddenly felt nauseous. I had never reacted like that. It was as if something had just been ripped from my gut. I wasn't wanted. I wanted to stop thinking about it, but I knew I needed to explore it. I wasn't wanted. The timing was wrong. Mom and Dad weren't happy, and now here comes another mouth to feed. Seems that is all I've done since. Feed and feed and feed. No one had ever said this to me, but I feel it deeply and have felt it all my life in school, with friends, with family. Oh God, that is hard to write. I feel it today when I'm not invited to lunch with others, so small, so not wanted, so wrong, and even I don't want me. The next thing I did was have a rum and coke. Damn. Well, that didn't work out too good, did it? But anyway, later I wrote, this was a couple of months later, I'm still dealing with it. This isn't like all this happens overnight, you know? And I wrote that I didn't fit in and I never would. Mom could pretend all she wanted, but I knew it was the truth. I was inconvenient and ill-timed, coming at a time of unhappiness, stress, and coming at a time when money was scarce. And I was yet another mouth to feed, and that is who or what I became. I heard it, I believed it, I became it. I'm a mouth to feed. So how do I change this story? You're changing by not knowing. By knowing, it is not who or what you are. You are a wonderful person full of grace and talents, filled with love and having love in your life. Know who you are, know what you are, and believe differently. Your old story is wrong. You are not wrong. Your story is wrong. Change the story. Simply choose again. Decide differently. The Course says you can. Choose differently. Choose again. What story will I choose? I choose health and happiness and love. No more loneliness, no more sadness, no more dark hole of pain. I choose joy, love, happiness, health, serenity, peace, acceptance of the good of my life, and acceptance of my new story. One of the things I did was I painted whiteboard paint on the inside of my medicine cabinet in my bathroom. So every morning when I reach in to get the deodorant, you can read, I wrote, I make good choices today. And it's been up there for over a year. These things have been up there. Every morning I see it. I make good choices today. I choose love. I choose health. I am wanted. I am valued. I am worthy. I am content. I am not underscore a mouth to feed. And that's on this one side. And then on the other side, if you open up, there's different things. Right now I'm tracking my weight and, you know, that kind of stuff. And if I hear a good thing, disconnectare, it means disconnect yourself from those things that are not your true self or something like that, that keeps you from being your true self. I also have written some other things, just good thoughts, because I have a disease that will come up and tell me, you stupid, I can't believe you did that again. So I have to immediately change that thought. Those old beliefs, I am not those things anymore. But it took a lot of time to recognize them. Like I said, it was just like the blood in my body. It was just part of who I am. I didn't realize. And as we worked on it, and as we talked about it, and as I went through tissue box after tissue box in my therapist's office, and I practiced this difference, that dark hole of pain might be about this big. And every now and then when it comes up, I have an arsenal of thinking. I use the scientific method. I have evidence against that. I can show you examples that tell you I am not stupid. And thank you very much for sharing, but now you're wrong and go away. And so when that stuff comes up, I've learned to recognize it, and I learned to choose a new thought, choose a new belief. And so after all of this, I'm thinking, so that was about a year and a half. That was the 2011, 2012. And I start praying to God. I finished with the therapist. I said, I think this worked out beautifully. I now recognize when I react today, look back. I had this wise, wonderful woman who once said, if the reaction is hysterical, the source is historical. So why am I reacting like this today? Because of something in the past, so I can choose a different reaction. And still practice it. It's really weird. I want to go gossip. I want to go tell someone. I want to go eat. No, we're not going to do that today. Choose differently. So then okay, I've got the emotional part. We're working on it, and I'm ready to do something different. I need a food plan. I'm ready to start, and I need to do something. So I prayed to God. I said, give me the willingness to do something. And I said, I'm willing to weigh and measure one meal. I'm not willing to weigh and measure everything. I'm willing to weigh and measure one meal. I came up with what is it that I'm willing to do. And I prayed for a food plan, and I was drawn to this thing, and I said, that's kind of weird. Nope. And I prayed for the food plan, and I was drawn to this thing, so I did it. Because, you know, I really felt that it was what I'm being shown. But I felt very awkward about it. It's unorthodox. It's not what anybody, it's certainly not weighed and measured and all that stuff. And I felt really weird about it. And so I called someone whose opinion I value very greatly. And I didn't call her about that, but I did mention it. And I said, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed to even mention it. I don't want to say what I'm doing. And she said, do you know my current abstinence started with a similar prepackaged food plan just like yours? And I said, oh, great. And after that, total acceptance. I just needed the validation from someone else in program that I'm in it. And so it worked. It worked. It got the eating. It got the compulsiveness under control. It got me focused and doing and made food no longer an issue. It was just do it, and I was willing to do that. And today I'm transitioning, and it's kind of scary to real food, not the little prepackaged space food that I was eating. And this requires more thought. But today, I'm willing to weigh and measure 5 meals a day. Huh, that's a year and a half change of thinking, isn't it? So today I'm doing it. But again, I was talking and I said, I'm so worried. I was walking with a friend and we were talking. I'm so concerned about this. I don't know if I can do. I mean, oh my God, I'm going from 1 meal to 5 meals. It's just so overwhelming. And she said, Kim, you don't have to do it all. Just do a transition. Why don't you just pick like one meal to switch and switch? And this is why I need the people in the rooms, because I'm all or nothing, black and white, wrong, right? Those are the only things. Those are the only options in my head. And then you guys show me all the other options that are out there in the world. You give me the other ways of thinking. And I even got started with a sponsor. I had to release a sponsee that called at 8:15 in the mornings. And then I called this woman, and I thought, she's never going to have enough room time for me. She's so busy, but she's got what I want. I'm going to call her. And she said, okay, but the only time I can talk to you is at
8:15.
And I said, perfect. I said, I don't want to call in my food. I just don't do that. I don't want to call in my food. What I want to talk about, I want to focus on spirituality. This is where it needs to be. I spent a year and a half on the emotional, and I feel like I've really made some headway. And now I've really gotten the physical. I'm exercising. The food is everywhere it needs to be. But the spiritual feels so vague. I came in a total agnostic, didn't believe in anything. So, you know, we've come a long way. But the spiritual aspect wasn't as deep, I guess, is the only word. So she said, no problem. And in the past few months, I feel a shift. You know, before, my higher power beliefs and stuff was all right around in here, and my higher power was out there somewhere. And today it is coming in, and it's becoming a part of me, and it's changing. It's in that transition period, but I know that something is happening. And again, it's changing the way I think. It's changing my beliefs. I have to, if what I'm doing or if what I'm believing isn't working, then I need to pick something else. And I can do that today. It's being aware. You know, I walked around living kind of clueless for so many years, just reacting, just escaping from everything. And it's all about just changing those beliefs. And when I was in the middle of the relapse, I said, God, I hope I get through this so I can make it of use, you know, no matter how far down the scale we've gone. And I always believe that everything has a gift. There is a gift in every situation. The death of my mother, I could look back, and I always see it after the fact, of course. Looking back, I found the gift of the passing of my mother and what came from that. So even in something as horrible as that, I know there's a gift. And the gift of this relapse, is that I am loved. I married my husband at 200 pounds, and at 305 pounds, he still loved me. I am not my weight. I am not defined by something as ultimately trivial as the pounds on a scale. I am valued because I was valued at 305 pounds. I was valued at 354 pounds. I couldn't see it then. But the gift of this relapse is that I know today that I am loved, and I am valued, and I am worthy, and I am acceptable, and I don't need to be fixed. I don't need to be improved upon just to be allowed to be someone's friend. You know, I don't know if this is making sense, but this is what I learned back at 305 pounds. And that thinking had to change before the physical could come. I didn't get that feeling of being worthy and valuable and okay and acceptable. And I'm no longer ashamed of who I am. I no longer feel like I'm just, you can't even put into words those feelings that you have when you don't feel of any use or value. I don't feel that. And because the thinking changed, everything else could start to fall into place to bring about the physical change and the behavioral change that I needed to make. And so, you know, if I could have learned that lesson faster, it would have been really nice. A 2-year relapse with that explanation would have been great, but I had 10, and 10 is what it took. Every pound, every ounce, every piece of pain in order to find the joy and the beauty and the self-acceptance of who I am. And today, I'm content. You know, I always thought I needed skyrockets and big dreams and amazing things. I need content. And it didn't hit me until recently, irritable, restless, and discontent. And I had been discontent my whole life, mostly with me and, of course, with half the people around me. So now I'm more accepting. I accept myself, and I accept more than half the people around me. So we're still working on the judgmental thing. But it's that, and that's the gift of this relapse. For the first time, I understand that grateful compulsive overeater. I always thought those people were crazy. But I'm grateful for this relapse. I'm grateful for the lessons of the relapse. And keep coming back, because there's just no way could I have done this if I had completely left. Just no way, no way. Thanks for letting me share.
Mm-hmm.